This is Pearls and Swine. This is Levi, and I'm over here with my buddy Travis, and we're going to be talking about the shame our culture puts on the ordinary. As I look at Facebook or social media, or, you know, you read articles of the stars, or, you know, there are...
You've been keeping up with the Kardashians?
I have been. Everybody's life looks extraordinary in the social media post. And I think it's fueling this sense that we have to live an extraordinary life in order to be pleasing to God or to have any value in this world. Even in the church, I think there is sometimes these kind of radical ideas of having this big platform. You know, I'm going to be the next recording star, or I'm going to be the next person to have the mega church, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And it's always these extraordinary things for God. And yet, I'm not sure that the scripture actually tells us that's what we should be desiring, or that's what we should be shooting for. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't use people and give them big platforms in extraordinary ways. But even if you talk to kids, I was talking to one of my kids, the youngest one, and I said, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a kicker like Matt Prater. I was so proud of that boy. I could see him going, and the Lions going to the Super Bowl would be a beautiful thing. But it was an extraordinary thing. It wasn't, you know, I want to do this or that, or I want to get up and go to work every day and be faithful to my spouse. And it wasn't that. That wasn't what was in his agenda. Not that he was probably thinking about those things. But I think we put a pressure on kids and in our culture to be extraordinary.
Well, I remember back in elementary school, kindergarten, probably one of the first questions that you get asked is, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was, if you didn't say like professional athlete, the next Michael Jordan, if you were just like, man, I just want to be like police officer or firefighter, even though those are pretty glamoury, glitzy kind of professions too. Like you get to do a lot of action. Like the kid, I remember one kid said he wanted to be a garbage man and everybody laughed at him. But we get that ingrained in our minds from a young age, and I think you nailed it. The social media platform, and everybody has that platform where they think they have to shout their little quips and sound bites from the rooftops. You have to – all the Instagram filters and things like that. You want to put out this perception that you are important, that you are extraordinary, that you've got something to give – other than what may be natural for you. And I think we can see, you and I see this a lot, that people can get caught up in trying to live this life that isn't actually your life. You're promoting something that is more or different than who you actually are.
Yeah, even in the church, we kind of see this kind of coming off in people's life. And, you know, they start saying things that are really not natural to who they are and natural to what maybe even God is doing in their lives. And I was just thinking about the passage of scripture that in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is talking to the church there, and it says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands. According to the passage, you know, maybe getting married, having kids, getting a little bit sick of your job, but sticking with your job, saving, investing, being a good citizen, loving one's neighbor, loving one's wife, loving your kids is actually what God has called us in many ways. If you look at the scriptures and you walk through them, I'm always struck at the no names of scripture. There's many of the big names like Moses and Abraham. And what's your favorite?
I can't say that on here.
Who's your favorite?
My favorite guy of the Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, of course. Oh. The big name.
Yeah, Jesus.
I thought you were talking about my Old Testament seminary experience where I was the guy that found all the weird obscure stuff and everybody was like, let's talk about that.
I was talking about just like kind of the heroes of the faith, the big names of the faith. And, you know, you have all of these, you know, you have Caleb, you have
Joseph,
and you have these incredible stories of faith. And you're like, man, I want to be like that. Or David. I in one sense, you're like, yeah. And then you get to the end of that story and you go, not so much. there's all these no names in scripture, all these people, thousands upon thousands of unnamed men and women in the Bible, the unknown saints, the unknown ones that didn't have any human fame, and yet they did incredible things for God. In Genesis, it says that it names three of Adam and Eve's sons, and then it says others are born of him and Eve, and they're just not named. Like, they're just not named. None of the carpenters who assisted in the building of the ark are mentioned. Neither are those are several of those who labored in preparation of the tabernacle. Pretty incredible things, though. Like, pretty big stories, pretty big headlines in the Bible. The tabernacle, the ark. There is just not this naming of them. A Gideon's 300 men. What a crazy story, right? God says, hey, you got too many, and they were already outnumbered, and God whittles it down to these 300 men, and God shows up and does this incredible thing through these 300 men, and they defeat this huge army all by themselves. None of them are named. They're just unnamed guys who went out there as warriors, and God intervened and did this extraordinary thing, but really to no fame of them. Yeah, there's other ones. You know, three valiant men who risked their lives to bring water from the well of Bethlehem. You know, you can keep going on and on in these little clips in the scripture of these really ordinary people. And what did they all have in common? What made them extraordinary was God. It was their relationship, their faithfulness, their trust in God and walking with him. But it wasn't necessarily their big, huge platform that they had. It was something else. And maybe, just maybe, if you look at the church in Rome, they didn't influence it by having like this extraordinary thing other than Jesus. They influenced it by living peacefully, by living faithfully, and really did an extraordinary work in the whole culture.
That reminds me of the verse out of Micah chapter 6. He has told you, old man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And that verse makes me think of some of the guys that were super influential in my faith growing up. Like, we all have got those people, right? I'm sure, Levi, you can think of some people that were just really impactful in your life and your trajectory in your walk with God. Those people that I have in my mind are not, it's not Billy Graham. It's not anybody famous. It's people like my grandpa. There was a youth pastor that I had growing up that was only in my life for a couple years. You know, they're the people that God puts in your life in those moments, and they're just ordinary guys, ordinary people, and they speak wells of influence into your life where you can draw from the experiences they had, and they just come alongside you, and they love you, and they walk with you, and they show you what it looks like to live a humble life walking with the Lord.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about is just the burden of being extraordinary.
Mm.
That the ordinary and their faith and their trust brings rest to a really a tired world. I think we're all get caught up in it sometimes, and we touch it at some level of wanting to have the perfect vacation or wanting to do this or wanting to climb the corporate ladder. And we work too much. We consume too much. Sometimes we're just generally bored and we're going like, what's the next adventure? What's the next thing that we're to do? Again, that church in Rome, the impact that it had, it was them living this ordinary life, but it inspired others to live this ordinary life, which was actually quite extraordinary because it was connected to a relationship mm-hmm. with God. And so I think there's hope in our world as we realign and we really take to heart some of those things that God has told us about life and the rhythm and just how that we don't have to be pursuing all these other things, but to be faithful to pursue him. That should be our heart's cry.
Yeah. And that rhythm of life is completely countercultural. You bring up when you were just talking about that, you bring up something to my mind as I've looked at the news headlines over the past few days. I've noticed there's been a number of like Instagram influencers, YouTube influencers. And a lot of the times you see that those people are trying so hard to reinvent themselves, keep themselves relevant. The articles that I've seen are multiple.
Lady Gaga. Whoa.
But there's the sad part is that there's been a number of recent ones that have ended their lives. Mm. And I think that's just like an impossible struggle to chase after when you have to be relevant. You have to reinvent yourself to be this extraordinary person when it's not that way. Like, there's simplicity in living a humble life. There's less stress. And it's so countercultural to what America is telling us to do, to strive, get more, do more, go on the next huge adventure and make yourself, you know, look like you are the next Lewis and Clark expedition guy. When really God's saying, like, follow me, do these things in life. There's a rhythm to it. Take times to rest, love your wife, raise your kids well. And those things are not glitzy and glamorous according to our world standards by any means right now.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the Bible and you look at just kind of the extraordinary things and the things that people that we kind of remember, especially in the New Testament when Jesus is walking around, I think of people like Jairus, he's like, hey, I need some help. My daughter's sick and she'd already died. And Jesus says, oh, go back. You know, she's good. She's healed. And the ripple effect of really being faithful to know where to go actually made Jairus somewhat famous in that. Or I think about Lazarus. Like, he didn't have anything to do. He died, right? Like, he just got sick and he died, and Jesus comes and raises him from the dead. It was Jesus who made him extraordinary. There's a great song by Scott is his name, and it says, Lazarus dies again. And that's the reality. But I mean, I bet he was really trusting that Jesus is going to raise him again, right? Like he'd already been through it one time before. And so on his deathbed, his trust in Jesus was just there. But his extraordinary life, or his extraordinary moment, really, he is a kind of a one-hit wonder, really was connected to Jesus. And you see that over and over. We know the woman who's caught in adultery and Jesus wiping tears and walking with her. We know of her because of Jesus, because he was extraordinary. And there's just this intimacy, I think, that we can have with God and we can have with Jesus that is actually extraordinary and exciting in the way it's supposed to be. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we have this extraordinary life. People often will quote things like, I know the plans I have for you in Jeremiah. And we always think, well, God's got big, huge plans. Maybe his plan is be faithful. Maybe his plan is raise your kids with Jesus. Maybe his plan is love your wife as he loves the church. Maybe his plan is get up and serve in nursery. Get up and do the ordinary, the thing that no one else wants to do. And because of that, there's this intimacy and connection to him, which becomes this extraordinary thing.
And that's exactly what I was talking about with those people that are in our lives. My grandpa, an extraordinary, extraordinary influential man in my life and in my shaping of my faith. He worked at the telephone company. He brought his lunch home and to work in a metal bucket every single day. Like, he liked to golf when we were younger. He didn't do anything out of the ordinary, but he was faithful. He loved Jesus. He loved his church. He served in his church. He still serves in his church. He's the guy that will shake your hand or give you an elbow bump when you go into their church. He was faithful in those things. And that is really what was impactful in my life, to see that faith just lived out and it meant something to him. And so he was going to show up and do what God had for him. And I think that speaks more than a bazillion words and volumes of books for me. And we can go back and think of other people in that too. And you see it though. And like Jairus' daughter, I'm sure she had great, great testimony to share with other people. Like, my dad went and found Jesus and I was dead and he raised me from the dead. And that gives her just this amazing platform, not because she was striving for it, not because her Instagram was like the top Instagram account out there. It was because of Jesus' work in her life.
Yeah, Oswald Chambers, kind of a famous dude, said a Christian worker has to learn how to be God's man or woman of great worth and excellence in the midst of a multitude of meager and worthless things. All of God's people are ordinary people who have been made extraordinary by the purpose he has given them. We are not workers for God by choice. Many people deliberately choose to be workers, but they have no purpose of God's almighty grace or his mighty word in them. Paul's whole heart and mind and soul were consumed with the great purposes of Christ and what he came to do. And he never lost sight of that one thing, of sharing the gospel and the good news. And that's really what made Paul extraordinary. If you're a follower, if you've said yes to Jesus, this is just extraordinary. And listeners, hear this, because this is just amazing. You have the Spirit of the living God inside of you. That's extraordinary in and of itself. It teaches you how to live. Mm-hmm. It leads you to truth. And it brings you into intimacy with God Almighty. It's amazing. It's this counselor. And if you do nothing in your life other than be faithful to God, you've lived an extraordinary life.
Absolutely. I think back in Acts, when we read through the church forming and the people are listening to Peter and John, they're like, whoa, what are these guys talking about? These are just, they're not educated. They're just ordinary guys. But those people were astonished with what they had said because they'd been with Jesus. And it comes back to who you know and who you're going to follow. So we know who Jesus is. I hope that you know who Jesus is. If you don't, we'd love to have that conversation with you. We'd love to have you come and hang out with us here at Evangel. But when you meet Jesus, when you have an encounter with him, that flips everything. It flips the paradigm. The things of the world still may be shiny and bright, and they may catch our attention with our ADD tendencies, but it changes the path that you have. It changes your mindset. Maybe a light switch moment, maybe a gradual walk, but it's going to change you.
Well, you think of the Apostle Paul. No one would have known who he was,
mm-hmm.
other than he was the terrorist from Tarsa, you know, killing Christians and doing those things. But his name would not have gone down in the history books as somebody as significant as he was without that encounter with Jesus. He's on the road to Damascus, gets knocked off his donkey, and God intervenes in his life. And it's really what happens to all of us. God shows up in our life and says, you need me. We accept that by faith. We're connected to him, and the extraordinary life that we are meant to live begins, because you're always meant to be in relationship with God. You are always meant to know the loving Father in the hands of what he's done. And we recognize that the way to God is through the person of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And when you see that for the very first time,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. David, when he had killed somebody, he had committed adultery, life was not going well, he realizes this whole thing, and he writes the 51st Psalm, and it says, to create in me a clean heart, God. In there it says, don't let your spirit go from me. And then it talks about returning to the joy of his salvation. This moment of intimacy with God, this moment of understanding of his faith and connectedness to the Creator Almighty. And that was what was extraordinary to David. David lived a pretty extraordinary life. I want to just tell you, listeners, man, God is in love with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him, and you know him through his Son. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And we just want to encourage you. We want to just encourage you that there's an incredible life that you get to live by being connected to him. But that incredible life may look like an ordinary life, the standards of this world. But we don't live by the standards of this world. We live by the standards of the kingdom of God. We're just so thankful for that. If you have questions, if you have thoughts, send them to travis@evangelup.org. Come visit us at Evangel, 900 to Memorial Road.
Road.
Come hang out. It's the old ShopGo building. We'd love to have you and say hey to us. Or if you want to hear more of our podcasts, evangelup.org, you can pick up a bunch of podcasts and sermons and all bunch of good stuff on there. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.